Good morning to you. I didn't get to say this last week because I wasn't here, but it's her Friday. And it's even more significant because producer Jay is back for Friday. We just did an entire segment that I produced myself. I'm so proud of myself. I don't typically get the luxury of only hosting anymore because there's just two of us, right? So I can't ask Jay to do everything that a producer, well, two producers would do. And so a lot of times I'm taking on producer responsibilities, but even more so when he's gone. Though I do appreciate that Carlos did what he did to help us get through the last week. Plus, but I would like you to know, I did that entire segment all by my lonesome. I picked the audio. I told Jay he couldn't listen to it. And so he had no idea what was coming. What Jay missed. That'll teach you to go on vacation or to get arrested.
I enjoyed that segment. That was really fun.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Was it as much fun as your vacation?
It was up there. It was close.
You
tight,
liar.
Tight second.
You're such a liar. This is the same Jay who already told me that what he missed most about being here was his YouTube numbers and watching his YouTube channel.
Got to get those analytics.
So I already know where his head's at. Yeah, poor guy. He didn't have any access to the internet the entire time. So what he was most jonesing for, YouTube. Yep. Don't you worry. I know exactly where I rank in the hierarchy of Jay's favorite things. I'm not even on the like top 10 list. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Roger Goodell. No doubt we are going to make a brand new piece of production for the football season with Rob Walton saying Roger Goodell because it's so Goodell. We had the first two games of the NFL preseason last night, one in New England and one in Baltimore, and they're off. Now, here's the thing. I much preferred watching the Field of Dreams game in Dyersville, Iowa. Yes, I had both on my TV, and I was going back and forth between football and baseball. It was a DVR, so I was rewinding and figuring out what I missed. But I was captivated by the Field of Dreams, the setting, the players and the old timers emerging from the cornfield, the Griffies having a catch. The entire experience not only makes me nostalgic, but it makes me want to travel to Dyersville, Iowa, so I can see it. We're going to get to that because the players themselves were in awe and because our guests came from Dyersville, Iowa. But you know as well as I do that there were probably more people watching NFL preseason games, the two of them. The Hall of Fame game last week, it had the highest ratings of any program on TV last Thursday night. That did not include Jay and his family because they were not available to watch the Hall of Fame game. It actually didn't include me either because I was on vacation. Well, I was on vacation. I was taking a long weekend, so I wasn't watching either. So neither of us watched the original preseason game, but we got a taste of it last night. It sounds like football. Doesn't always look like football, but it means that we're getting closer. In exactly 4 weeks' time, we will be sitting here in these very chairs or in the very driver's seat that you're in right now. Maybe you're getting your coffee. You're not ready to get in the car yet. Wherever you are, in exactly 4 weeks' time, you will be there. I will be here. And we'll be talking about a game that counts. The season opener. We'll be in the rearview mirror 4 weeks from this morning.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell.
Me too. Thank you, Roger Goodell, for making sure that we're moving forward to week one of the NFL season. Just to whet your appetite, here's a little bit of play-by-play because the Giants actually used their starters in the first quarter against the Patriots.
Barkley was right, takes the snap, quick throw, Slayton, short drop, cuts through midfield. He's got a first down and finally wrestled down inside New England territory, down at the 41-yard line. A quick toss there to Darius Slayton, who's touched the ball twice here in the opening series. Barkley to the right of Jones out of the gun. Takes a high snap, play action, throws on a quick slant over the middle. It's caught by Colin Johnson. Another first down inside the 30. Finally wrestled down inside the 25, down to the 24-yard line.
That's Chris Carino on Giants radio. Another indication that it's preseason. But they did have their starters out there. Brian Daboll on the sidelines. Really cool for him to have his first opportunity as a head coach. Jones goes 6 of 10 for 69 yards. He did have a pass that was on point to Kenny Golladay in the red zone. Would have been a touchdown. Golladay, according to Carl Banks, who was doing the Giants TV coverage, ran a lazy route and did not continue through with his route, did not complete his route. And so because of that, instead of it being a touchdown, it was a drop and it goes as an incomplete pass for Daniel Jones. But they are off and running in the Brian Daboll era.
Felt good to get out here, and you know, it's always different being in a game situation, and picks up, the speed picks up a little bit, you go through the operation and now the huddle. So thought it was good, some things to clean up, but felt good to be out here.
There was some good, and you know, some things we could have back. What was he, 6 of 10? You know, we threw a couple vertical plays there. They had a couple free runners relative to the protection. But I thought he operated the offense well. He let him down on the first drive. We stalled there in the red zone. And, you know, good first start, but certainly things to clean up.
So Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones trying to make sweet music together. It could be that Daboll is the key to Jones extending his career with the Giants, or it could be that this is the end of Jones with the New York Giants. So much riding on this season. I know we said that last year, but trust us, this year is the year when Daniel Jones has to step up and prove himself.
Stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there.
Worthy of keeping his job as the Giants starter and face of the franchise, though he doesn't smile a whole lot. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Saquon Barkley was out there and healthy. You heard Chris Carino call his number, you know what I mean, say his name once in the highlight package. And it's different for Saquon because he's not coming off an injury, and he's noted that multiple times during this preseason.
I felt pretty good. I think the O-line did a great job. We were able to move the ball. I was able to get a catch on 3rd and 5 to keep the sticks moving. Great ball by DJ and great read by DJ. But yeah, my body been feeling really good. So just like I said, taking it one day at a time and improve off of this. I really haven't really changed anything. You know, obviously, I just feel like when you're just more comfortable with your body, you can trust yourself a little bit more. You're not even thinking, and you just get downhill. You know, that's kind of how I feel like I've been playing my whole career so far. So I'm excited to get back to that. Just trying to make plays for the offense and help us win games.
While we're talking about running backs, I want to mention, I didn't do this earlier, but James White announced his retirement after 8 seasons with the Patriots. And so for him to walk away is kind of a, not only bittersweet, I think, maybe a little bit of a surprise that he's retiring from the NFL, but the message that he had for the Patriots and for their fans, the fact that he's a 3-time Super Bowl champ, what else is there, right? So after 8 seasons, he decided that this was the end of his run. And Devin McCourty was speaking about his old teammate.
You don't say this too often about people, but he's one of those guys that, like, someday if my daughter found a guy and said, you know, I'm going to bring home a guy kind of like James White, I'd be excited. I mean, just to come in here and not play much, really not at all, as a rookie, and just work his butt off. I know Josh McDaniels used to always say, if I had 11 James Whites, it'd be perfect, because he said, I can tell him something in training camp, and it might not show up for 12 weeks, but when it shows up again, he's going to be on it. So, always a bittersweet feeling, I think, you know, to have a guy like that in the locker room. You know the impact it has. We knew what it was like last year when, you know, he went through surgery, and just not having him around all the time, the impact on the team. And I think now you're happy for him, I think, especially as an older guy, knowing what we put our bodies through and how hard that decision is to come to that. So you're happy, but just a little sad that won't have him in the locker room constantly, having a guy for me that I've sat in captain's meetings on Fridays with over the last couple years of, you know, just being able to talk football, talk about leadership, talk about how we win football games around here. You know, definitely a different kind of feeling as you get older, and those guys you've lined up with now for 8 and 10 seasons, as you start to lose some of those guys, kind of puts it in perspective, this game. But obviously wish James the best.
Sweet feet, James White. That's a nickname that goes back to his high school days. He played his entire career with the Patriots. Sounds like they knew this was coming or were moving on based on skills because they had already signed a veteran, Ty Montgomery, to kind of take that spot. Here's what I will always remember about James White. Super Bowl 51 against the Atlanta Falcons. Unstoppable. He was unstoppable. Oh, producer Jay tells me that he has called up the play from the archives.
James White is set behind Brady. Second and goal to go from the two. Toss sweep right for James White. Tucks it under the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line.
It's still
a touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
One more ring.
James White. And a silver trophy is coming back to New England.
The call on New England Patriots radio with Bob Sosi and Scott Zolak.
Holy crap!
I was there. And so I will always remember James White for his performance in that epic comeback against the Atlanta Falcons in Houston, the only Super Bowl ever to go into overtime. And he does hold three Super Bowl records, all of them who come from that rally past the Falcons. Most receptions, 14. Most points scored, 20. And most touchdowns, 3. That was his career moment. Unbelievable. He was unstoppable. So congratulations to James White on a career, actually, that is double the length of the average for NFL players and one that produced three championships with the New England Patriots. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Bill Belichick may not be in midseason form. He actually talked a lot longer than what we get during the middle of the season as his team starts out in the preseason.
You know, it was a good competitive night for us. You know, we thought we got a lot of good work in, you know, in all three phases of the game. And obviously got to look at a lot of people that haven't played a lot for us. And so whatever their individual situation was, that was really the common theme with all those players. You know, good to be out there, good to be playing and yes. Going through that process. And there's a lot of things we'll learn from tonight and, you know, work on this week, try to improve next week and you know, next game opportunity we have. But, you know, thought the players responded well to the competition. And,
I mean, he's still going.
It's a pretty evenly matched game.
Still talking.
Situations and got a lot we can learn from. So that's what we'll do.
Wow. Yeah, he's going to get a lot more succinct during the regular season. But how about a verbose, almost loquacious Bill Belichick in the preseason? Almost sounded like he was in a good mood. I'm just not used to that. Though he did drop one of his, we'll call them crutches, but his signature phrases, all three phases of the game. How many times do we hear Joe Judge use that? Because he was also from that Patriots factory.
You know, all three phases of the game.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Joe Judge, I swear this is Bill Belichick flying in the face of convention. He just insists on doing things his own way and does not care what anyone thinks.
No magic sauce here. Just have to go back to work.
Joe Judge, who was special teams with the Patriots, Matt Patricia, who was defense with the Patriots before they both departed for head coaching ventures. Clearly, you know how they worked out since they're back in New England. Those two guys split the offensive play calling duties. So when we did not see Mac Jones, when it was Brian Hoyer, it was Matt Patricia who was calling the plays for the two series. But then Judge took over when the rookie, Bailey Zappe, entered the game. I don't know either.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
But this is really funny. Belichick, he obviously is, at this point, not interested. They both do have official titles, but he's not interested in giving anyone what they desire, which is official delineation of duties. His response when he was asked again, how many times do you think he's been asked this question since the training camp? Forget training camp. Since workouts and mandatory OTAs began.
I would imagine in one form or another, every single day, he's answering questions.
At least once.
It's got to come up, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Maybe differently worded, but he's still answering the same question.
Who will be calling plays when the regular season gets here, coach? Don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
I covered it.
I've told you everything I know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. So no Mac Jones, but Brian Hoyer might have been the most veteran guy on the field throughout last night's first quarter. It was also the debut of Kayvon Thibodeau, who got his first NFL action. He was the number 5 overall pick with the Giants.
Defensive end, Oregon!
Oh my gosh, I forgot. That was the highlight of the draft. So good. And then, and what was that young man's name? Do you remember his name? I'll look it up really quickly while we hear from Kayvon. But he had a one tackle. Mostly, though, is about getting his feet wet as the Giants' new defensive end.
Man, it was great. You know, it was exciting out there. We got a lot to work on. You know, during the season, I know it's going to be a lot more exciting, but this is a good start. I feel like it was pretty good. Everything went pretty vanilla, as you would hope for a preseason game. But, you know, I'm just excited and ready for the season.
Sam Prince, who is not only Eli's BFF, but was the highlight and the juice for the first round of the NFL draft, was so good. Remember, he was out there with Commissioner Roger Goodell and just awesome, jumping around and screaming and yelling and loving it, having the time of his life. So thank you, Sam, for reminding us about Kayvon. From Oregon!
Defensive end, Oregon!
That was so good. I laughed, I cried. So Patriots and Giants, one of the preseason games. The other, Titans at the Ravens. Malik Willis gets the start, his first NFL action, as well as the guy who is the heir apparent, some point, to Ryan Tannehill.
It's not the result you're looking for, but we're just blessed to have an opportunity to go out there and play some football. I mean, you got a lot to learn from. We got a lot to look at on film. So I guess it's really cool to get out there again and play football. Yeah, I missed some things probably, and I just made up for it with my legs. I can't continue to, like, you know, rely on that, though, but that's what the preseason is for. So you can just see those things against a live defense. And one we hadn't played before, you know, with the joint practices next week, we'll have an opportunity to play these guys. But like you say, you just got to look at the film, take it for what it's worth, and continue to work. I mean, we're in the middle of camp.
I like how he points to the result initially. Oh, my gosh, stop it. Nobody cares. Okay, maybe a few people care. I refuse to give scores from preseason games. So whoever is doing the update at the bottom of the hour, if there's a score from these preseason games, this is my response. La, 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 la. Going to put my fingers in my ears and just yell that right in the middle.
I was just being myself.
Loud noises. I know. That could apply to me at any point, really. It's preseason football, so at times it sounds like football. Man, it looked brilliant on my brand new TV that I bought in honor of football season. My old TV was 13 years old and was not smart TV, so Amazon Prime's making me upgrade. Anyway, it was pretty. It was nice to see it, but honestly, I was much more captivated by the Field of Dreams from a cornfield in Iowa. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And now the 0-1. Driven toward left center. That's going to be a gapper. It's going to go all the way out toward the wall. Rounding third and heading home is Wisdom. And here comes the relay to the plate. Patrick Slide scores. RBI double. Seiya Suzuki. Cubs lead 1-0. Here's a line drive. Shallow left field. Base hit. Suzuki's going to try to score. The throw by Almora will be offline. Coming in to score is Suzuki. Down to second goes Horner. Cubs lead 2-0. Let's see if Happ can keep it going. He can. Line drive, base hit, left center. Another run is going to score. Coming in is Horner. On his way to second safely is Happ. And the Cubs now lead 3-0. And the 3-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike 3 and the ball game is over. The Cubs win the ball game. Rowan Wick strikes out. Matt Reynolds gains the save. Drew Smyly will get the win. And the Cubs defeat Cincinnati by a score of 4-2.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
How cool for Pat Hughes to call a game in Dyersville, Iowa, significant for the Field of Dreams. I love it. I love everything about it. I think that Major League Baseball and, of course, the group that owns and runs this former movie set that's now been turned into a tourist attraction, they've hit a home run. They've certainly had the Midas touch when it comes to the Field of Dreams. And you could tell with the faces of the players as they emerge from the cornfield, along with old timers, they surrounded Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr., who had just finished having a catch and were walking with them. The kids that were on the field, what a day, and gorgeous weather in Iowa. It was perfect, an amazing setting, even to the point where they had the beautiful sunset at the end as the lights were on. So it's just, I loved it. I loved all of it and wish I had been there, but there were only 7,823 fans who were able to buy tickets. That, in fact, was a sellout, but I think that is part of the charm, the fact that it's an intimate setting and that it's a select number of people. Although, as I made the comment earlier about the Tampa Bay Rays sometimes having fewer than that, or the Miami Marlins, I kind of got a twinge that maybe it was inappropriate because this was such a perfect setting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Me and my poor timing when it comes to my inappropriate jokes. It was an actual game that counts, and Drew Smyly got a win on the Field of Dreams. He threw five scoreless innings, allowed just four hits, had nine strikeouts, and for him, it was all about the experience.
It was awesome. I mean, it's just such a cool experience. Major League Baseball did an amazing job setting this all up. To just get out here early in the day and walk amongst everybody through the cornfields with the fans and then show up, and it's a small ballpark, obviously, and it's a very intimate setting. It's fun just to be here and hear the fans. You can hear them yell in the stands. It's just a memory that is going to stick with all of us for a long time.
It's so cool. It honestly, coming in from the airport, brought me back to summer ball. And you know, Midwest, I grew up in Pittsburgh, so we would drive to Ohio, to Indiana, to Illinois, to Michigan, and play summer ball tournaments. And so you know, pulling up through the cornfields into a place like,
there's no way anything could take away from the day we had here. I mean, it's a great experience. Heard so many people throughout our clubhouse just saying it's something they'll remember for the rest of their life.
That's really cool. And that was David Bell, who actually was interviewed on Fox before the game by Ken Rosenthal. If you didn't see the interview, there's three generations of Bells that played Major League Baseball, that were involved in Major League Baseball, and they lost his brother, Mike, a year ago to cancer. And so when Ken asked him, because the theme of the movie, Field of Dreams, is about a reconnection between a father and a son and a relationship that was lost but that was restored because of this Field of Dreams and the baseball experience. And so to a man, it seemed like, whether it was our guest, Trent Rosecrans, who joined us from Dyersville when he was done, that was earlier in the show, he lost his dad in February, and his thoughts were all about how excited his dad was when he found out that his son's team, or the team that his son covers, the Reds, were going to play at the Field of Dreams. We know that Joey Votto mentioned it too, and actually we'll hear from Joey in a second. And then David Bell and his family and what it meant that they were there and how their thoughts were continually on Mike and how much he would have enjoyed it. So that father-son, father-brother family connection was so prevalent in all of the interviews last night, specifically the ones that Ken Rosenthal did, because he seems to know to cut right to the heart of the matter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before that, before David Bell, you hear Ian Happ. And I will say, in addition to the Griffies walking out of the cornfield and playing, well, having a catch, you got to say it the right way. In addition to them having a catch, my favorite part of this broadcast was Joey Votto being mic'd up. Votto in the middle of playing first base in a game that counts, but he's wearing this old timers uniform and he's having a great exchange with John Smoltz in the Fox booth. Really fascinating stuff around how he started in one era of baseball, where the pictures were about location, and they could fool you with location. And he referenced facing John Smoltz and Tom Glavine and other Hall of Famers, and now talks about how he's managed to stay relevant because he can time a fastball. And he said, I mean, I was mesmerized. He said, if you can't time a fastball in this league, if you can't lay off a breaking ball and time a fastball in this league, you can't play in the majors anymore because the two eras are so different. So John Smoltz gave him credit for staying not just relevant, but for staying in the game into his late 30s and still being able to produce and being able to make an impact with the Reds. Now, it's tough, right? Because the Reds are in this space where are they rebuilding? Are they not rebuilding? I mean, this might have been the highlight of their entire year, actually. And so I give credit to Votto because he's obviously still having fun. He's got a great attitude. He's about to be 39. The Reds stink, and yet you wouldn't know it from the reverence that he had, not only for the experience there at the Field of Dreams, but just for baseball in general. And I learned a lot just by listening to this interview. So it's really cool, even as he talked about what the Field of Dreams means to him.
I actually Google searched synonyms for special, and exceptional came up, so I thought it was an appropriate word. I used to play catch with my father from 8, 9 years old, and it was a daily thing. He wanted me to be a pitcher like John Smoltz, and we threw every day. He'd catch me. We'd share that moment together, and, you know, he passed away about 14 years ago, and here I am at the Field of Dreams, you know, longing for a catch with my father, but still basking in this with a smile, knowing that, you know, if he was here, he would have loved it, and we would have shared it together. So it's very much a full circle moment for me.
Joey Votto mic'd up along with John Smoltz on the MLB on Fox broadcast. It felt more like an all-star game. It was as special, as unique. It was different. I'm sorry they won't do it next year, but is worth it. And producer Jay, because this is how his mind works, Googled average ticket price. Now, again, there were 7,823 fans, and the average ticket price was
$967.
$967.
And the average ticket to a Cubs home game this year is $62, and the average ticket to a Reds game is $39. So a little bit of an upgrade, a little bit of a price jump.
However, I'm going to assume, and if I'm wrong, don't tell me, that the price of admission to get into the cornfield in Iowa and to sit in those stands that were more like Little League stands, to do that also gave you access to the movie set and to walk around behind the cornfield, or at least the outfield where the corn is, and to be able to experience the whole area around the Field of Dreams, because there's a complex now. They've actually built this entire complex. It's still perfect there on the field, but it's a tourist attraction. So I hope the people who paid to get in also got to roam through the corn.
I would imagine. I'd hope so. I mean, for that price, I'd want to have a catcher, Ken Griffey himself.
Well, our guest who joined us from Dyersville, Iowa, first and I hope not the last interview we've ever done from Dyersville, Iowa, he said that he not only walked through the corn, but did get to be on the field having a catch with another member of the media. So that was really cool. And he mentioned just being able to walk around all day long and the unprecedented access that you had, not just on the field for media, but also for fans, and the way that it's so different because baseball understands this is not your average major league stadium. So I think I don't have that kind of money, but if the opportunity came up,
I really might think about it. It was really cool.
Funny enough, the Cubs traveled on the morning of. The Reds were actually in New York and didn't leave New York until Thursday morning and had to make that weird trip to Iowa, but totally worth it, totally worth it. All right, it's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We got the answer to a question that we asked earlier. I'll explain. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's a Friday morning. Nothing else needs to be said.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Come on,
click, boom!
As we wrap up the week, we contemplate the mysteries of the universe.
Boom! I just laid down the A-Law. Boom!
The best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
And your fire.
Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. The greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
After Hours presents the Boom Moment of the Week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Now on 1 and 2. Pujol swings and hits one high. Deep to left field. And it's a goner going back to back with Nolan Arenado. Home run number 687 for the future Hall of Famer.
Pretty much every day. I mean, just watching his at-bats, listening to his speeches, not speeches, but talking during our hitters' meetings. And now just we rely on him as a, you know, leadership role. And, yeah, it's just amazing to see him still doing it.
That's Paul DeJong gazing in admiration when Albert Pujols hits a bomb like that, number 687. Earlier in that game, and I know this because I was listening to Cardinals radio, he hits a ground rule double. John Rooney wasn't sure. For a second there, he thought the ball was out, and I was holding my breath too. Instead, he gets it a little bit later in the game, and actually a four-hit game on Wednesday night for one Albert Pujols.
A Redbird winner!
You hear John Rooney on Cardinals radio. That's our Boom Moment of the Week. His next step toward baseball immortality. I'm all about it. If he can put together a run right now and grab a few home runs the next couple of games, there's still over 6 weeks to go in the regular season. And Oliver Marmol told us he's crushing lefties. So let's go, Albert Pujols. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Producer Jay is back from his hiatus, his sabbatical, if you will, his cone of silence. What is the biggest thing that you missed while you were gone? And I mean in the sports world, I don't mean the fact that you were unable to have, let's see, Wendy's at any point during the last 8 days.
Well, on an unfortunate note, probably the biggest thing I missed was Vin Scully passing away. That was right at the beginning of my trip, and I didn't know that until a couple of days later because I wasn't connected to the internet, and yeah, that was pretty sad, but to hear all the heartwarming tributes and to see that Dave Roberts video of him chanting of the whole stadium playing "Let's Time for Dodger Baseball," that was really cool. It gave me chills, honestly. So I'd say that would be the biggest thing, unfortunately. But
you missed. We did an entire show on Vin Scully. I did not intend for that to happen, but as it turned out, so many people wanted to call up with their tributes. So many people were mesmerized by the highlights that we were able to grab from TV and radio and his iconic career. And then the best part of that show, I'm so grateful to our friend Michael Duarte in LA, who joined us live. And he was very emotional because he counted Vin Scully as a friend, not to mention the entire Dodgers organization was taken by surprise or caught off guard. I think they knew that he was, as Michael put it, not ambulatory anymore. He was having trouble moving around, but his death was not expected to be imminent in any way. And so to have Michael on the show, and he had just spoken to Vin Scully days before his death. And wow, what a treasure. What a memory to cherish. Well, he joined us, and that was really neat to be able to have him. But yeah, you all wanted to talk about Vin to the point where I never ended up getting on to a different topic. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio on Facebook, YouTube, because that's really what Jay missed, if he's being completely honest. And then also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Something else that Jay missed actually had to do with a couple of callers, so I'll explain in a second. But Caleb is listening in Wisconsin. Caleb, welcome to After Hours.
Hi. I wanted to, so as a Brewers fan growing up, Pujols.
Yes.
Pujols. Couldn't stand him.
Ha ha.
Every Brewers fan just could not stomach him. And for me, I still hope he hits 700 because I think he deserves it. He's a phenomenal player. And even as a Brewers fan, it's like you want to see someone reach that goal.
Especially someone who's as classy as him. Even if you hated him, he has represented the game in a way that there's no fault with it. And to see the way the other players flocked to him and wanted to be part of his home run derby experience when they were in LA, that was amazing.
Absolutely. It's like, for me, it's like comparing it to, in a sense, to like you don't want to see Tom Brady win another Super Bowl, but it would kind of be cool if he won one. But I did have a question also about a movie, wondering if you had seen it.
Uh-oh.
It's a very old movie. It's one of the greats. If you haven't seen it, I recommend Citizen Kane.
You know what? I think I had to watch that when I was in school. I think we actually had to watch that movie as part of, I don't know if it was an English class or a history class, but I do remember having to watch the movie. Honestly, though, I couldn't tell you what it's about right now if you quizzed me. Sorry.
Oh, no. It's actually rated as America's number one. It's in the, like, their records. It's rated the number one film ever made. And it broke through. I recommend watching it again just once. It's pretty tedious, but things they did in that movie were never done before, and they had the first Infinity Room in there, and they used spacing gorgeously. So I know you like movies, so I figured I'd ask.
I do, and I believe it's been a long, maybe years, since anyone's mentioned that one to me. Are you thinking about it because of the Field of Dreams theme?
You know, a couple things have brought it up recently. It's actually, I have it on my list to rewatch, and I'm like, you know what? I know you're a Star Wars fan like me, too, and I'm like, I'll ask her if she's seen it.
Have you seen The Godfather?
The Godfather is on my list. It's not one I've seen.
Yes!
I know. It's
I'm not the only person in the United States of America who hasn't seen The Godfather. I thought I was the last remaining holdout. Despite the fact that boyfriends have tried to get me to watch it, I've never seen it, and I don't know why.
It's like, it's one of those that's always been on the list, but I feel like I have to be in the right mood to watch. And I've never hit that mood.
All right. Well, me and you, we can be on our island together, Caleb.
Sounds like a plan. I hope you have a great rest of your night. I appreciate you taking the call.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. I finally found someone else who has not seen The Godfather. Wowzers. Okay. I feel much better about myself after that one phone call. So, Jay, of the audio that I played for you in their brand new segment titled What Jay Missed, what's your favorite?
The Lions stuff, I think I got to go with. The Jamal Williams, the Dan Campbell. I mean, if this team doesn't win at least 15 games this year, then they certainly seem like they all have the heart and the drive to, and they're going to run through brick walls for everybody. But it's tremendous what they're doing. I got to watch Hard Knocks. I think that's what I missed.
Jamal, there you go. Jamal Williams and Dan Campbell, who will both be candidates for the After Hours Hall of Fame. I just got a text, by the way. This is so funny, you guys. Sean Morash, who is part of the DA show that follows us here on CBS Sports Radio. Sean, I had no idea we were kindred spirits, soulmates, if you will. I never saw The Godfather. All right. Now there's three of us on our island. Thank you, Sean, wherever you are. Thank you for that vote of confidence and that validation.
You guys got to watch it.
There's something wrong with us. Is that what you're saying? Oh, Matthew just sent me a tweet. You are not alone. I have not seen The Godfather either. Yes. Before you know it, I'm going to be the majority, and you're going to be in the minority.
This isn't a good club to be in, I'm telling you. It's like the number one movie of all time.
Hey, earlier when you said, we have the show we have to watch, Jay and I actually have shows that we watch at the same time, you did not say Godfather. So, I mean, that wasn't tops on your list.
No, it's a long watch. You got to really have the time and appropriate mental space to soak in those 4 hours. Then, of course, if you watch Godfather 1, you got to watch Godfather 2, which is like an 8-hour day. It's worth it. You got to do it like once every like year or two. But you got to see them. You got to see them.
Every year or two? I can't just watch it once. I have to keep watching it?
Oh, no. Yeah, you got to watch it multiple times to really understand what's going on. It's one of those movies. There's so many characters. There's so many plot lines. So much happens. If you really want to understand it and like be able to talk the universe of The Godfather, yeah, you got
to
watch it. Like,
what if I don't want to talk the universe of The Godfather?
Then you don't watch it. But, you know, you made that choice.
Dylan sends us this tweet. Hey, A-Law Radio, I've never seen The Godfather either. So now we have Matthew and Dylan and Sean and Caleb and Amy all on the island. If you want to join us on our island, you just feel free. Send me a tweet and you are in. Maybe I'll do a poll.
Have you seen The Godfather?
Or will you be like Amy? Will you be like Amy and be one of the last remaining holdouts? Thank you, Dylan and Matthew and Sean and Caleb. Now I don't feel like quite the same outcast. I don't feel quite the same vilification as I did before. What you missed, by the way, two things, two callers. Dan from Michigan, who swears that I blocked him for a year and a half. It didn't matter how many times I said to him, I have nothing to do with callers. I never see the callers pop up on the phone. The first I know of callers is when they're on my screen, and that's after you've gone through the gatekeeper.
He probably swore on the air at one point when he called for maybe a different
show.
He refused.
He blamed me four different times before I finally hung up on him and said, that's why someone blocked you, apparently.
Yeah.
And then the other thing you missed is 80-year-old Dean from Texas, who wanted me to know a lot of different things about his life, including the fact that he finally Googled me on his phone and I'm very pretty, but also the fact that the Dodgers are going to the World Series against the Red Sox, and someday,
the Red Sox.
Someday when he passes away, he wants his ashes to be buried next to those of his cat.
That's a mighty powerful phone call. There's a lot going on there.
Never take a sabbatical again. You missed all of that. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Sunday night after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!